I'll run this one if you want.
That sounds good. For whatever reason, I'm having some throat issues. They're glandular related.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. You think you know who you are? You have no idea. I'm Dave, and you know who my co-host is, Mr. Ryan.
That's me, I think.
Yes, and we are Movies on Up, our tagline for this week. You think you know who you are? You have no idea. If you know that that's from Crash, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter @moviesonup. If you win and we pick you, you will win the glorious, the first Movies on Up prize package
of 2018.
Ish. Yeah, unless we gave out one last week, which I doubt we did. One of the first of 2018. It's from Crash, so let us know that. If you're right and we pick you. We're doing a little bit of a different episode this week, kind of. It's still the same stupid stuff.
It's lists.
You think you know who we are, and you're right. Even you have an idea, at least. That Horse 9/11 movie comes out this week. That Chris Hemsworth, 12 Men on Horse.
The Wild Bunch in Afghanistan.
Yeah. And we were thinking, we've already done a Chris Hemsworth movie.
Yep.
I don't want to do favorite Horse 9/11 movies.
That'd be a
probably be a lot of crossover.
List. Yeah.
So I thought, like, oh, Michael Shannon's in that. Like, oh, we could do Michael Shannon episode, which sounds great.
Yes.
And I would think at some point we will do a Michael Shannon episode. But then we thought, like, oh, Michael Pena's in that. Maybe we could do that. There might be a lot of crossover. William Fichtner's in it, and he's a cool actor. When are you going to have an opportunity to do a William Fichtner episode? So we're going to kind of do both. Ryan is doing his five favorite Pena movies. And I'm going to throw down five Fichtner movies.
When we decided that Michael Shannon was, not that it would be too easy, but we're going to do that list, but there, it doesn't have to be this
we'll
week.
We'll have another opportunity.
Right. I had suggested Michael Pena, and almost immediately Dave had suggested Fichtner. So, of course, we're just going to do our own thing. Why start 2018 off in a cohesive fashion when we can just have basically too many podcasts going on at the same time, crashing into your ears?
And maybe
tying in different points
will intersect at number one with what's arguably one of the most popular Best Picture winners of all time. So stay tuned for that, and maybe we'll get there, and our number ones will
crash
into
each other.
Spoiler
alert, we don't.
No, they don't even make my top five on either of them. I did a Pena list just in case I got vetoed. But
fair enough.
So Ryan is going to do his five favorite Michael Pena movies. I'm going to do my five favorite William Fichtner movies. Pretty self-explanatory. Fichtner shows up in a lot of stuff, like Dark Knight I didn't put on. Fichtner, I think, is a fascinating actor because you might not know the name. You might not know William
You know
Fichtner.
The face.
If you see him, you know him. And he's a big enough actor that...
Like Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah. And he's a big enough actor that when he shows up as the bank manager at the beginning of Dark Knight, you think, oh, he's going to be a bigger character than just the bank manager, right? Oh, he's big enough that chances are he's a bigger part than some
big
part. He wasn't. Spoiler alert on the Dark Knight. But it was cool seeing him in that. Didn't put it on my list because I tried to keep it more... Fichtner-y.
I would say four out of my five Pena movies are like that. I did disqualify, like, not they're not also-rans, but I think I'm going to start that this year. I'm just DQing movies because we've talked about them recently. So I DQed The Martian and Crash because they were both on lists recently.
I would have had The Martian on mine.
Oh, absolutely.
I did a five just because four of them, I think, are very Michael Pena heavy. One of them is The Martian.
Right.
Because I think he was, you know, other than Matt Damon and maybe Chastain, you know, I think he's probably, I guess Chewie. And I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in
The
Martian.
There is. Did our Martian episode. Yeah. We talked about how well they used.
Yeah.
They used everybody. But we did a Martian episode. It ended up on another list we did. I can't remember what that was, but I feel like we've talked about that movie a couple times at the end of the year. And then I don't know why Crash showed up.
I don't remember.
Could have been any number of reasons, but it did.
Most popular Best Picture winners,
probably,
maybe.
Yeah. We ran that list down. It was just above Annie Hall. That was number two.
Anyway, you're number five. We're already in Oscar season talk, and we're like 2 months away.
Right.
We don't even have nominations. We might by the time this comes out.
By the time this we're done recording it.
It's still 2016 at this point. But yeah, Ryan, your number five favorite Michael Pena movie.
Is a Will Ferrell movie directed by Dan Rush from 2011. It's Everything Must Go, starring Will Ferrell. Michael Pena And one of Dave's favorites, Rebecca Hall. That is the Rebecca that you don't like, right? You think you like Rebecca Ferguson, but it's Hall you definitely don't like.
They're Imagine Dragons and One Republic. One of them, okay, I really like and I've always liked, and the other one is very similar, and I could never remember which one I liked, but then I was so confused that at this point I might like them both.
Or are you just going to hate them both just to be safe?
I think I like them both. I think both have some solid jams.
Fair enough. This is a solid Rebecca Hall jam. This is kind of the archetypal movie of you've got an indie movie where a comedic actor takes on a flawed character in an attempt to show that he's got some range. That is what this is. But to be perfectly honest, it's a really good version of that kind of movie. And I think Will Ferrell is great. It's actually a bit darker than you might think. We see the complete implosion of his character's life within the first couple minutes of the movie. He's left without a job, a wife, or a house. And seemingly the only friend that Will Ferrell's Nick has in this movie is his AA sponsor, played by Pena. Really solid role for him. Like Ferrell, he's not in a comedic role. He's kind of the harsh voice of reason, which I guess is what you would imagine the role of an AA sponsor in an addict's life would be. He's got a scene with Ferrell in the third act that's kind of like the catharsis for Nick's character. They're really, really good together in that scene. It's a heavy scene. There's some revelations come out, and I think that they're wonderful together. But for me, like, the best chemistry in the movie is actually Will Ferrell with the young kid that helps him sell his stuff at a garage sale, Chris Wallace, who you, it's not a joke, may have seen him as young Biggie in Notorious just a couple of years before that. I think the kid was a great young, naive, but overly positive balance to the self-pity that we get from the protagonist. They were great together. I mean, Will Ferrell does these kind of movies. I mean, Stranger Than Fiction was not anywhere near as darker than this a couple of years before, but that's Will Ferrell reminding you that he's more than just a goofy guy with a hairpiece. But I actually really like this movie quite a bit.
I like this one. I circled around it. I like dramatic Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Stranger Than Fiction, easily my favorite Will Ferrell movie. That was a little goofy, but it was,
yeah,
it was a serious,
it's lighter
one
than this.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have Michael Pena.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish. For my number five, I did have Heat originally.
That's your number five?
Well, I'll explain. Anytime I can put Heat on a list.
Perfect movie.
I'm going to put it on a list. Fichtner's not in it a whole bunch. He's in there with Henry Rollins. Like, it's a smaller part. So I wanted to feature more. Instead, I went with Robert Zemeckis from 1997, Contact. This is a different Fichtner role. There's a theme in the remaining four of the type of guy that William Fichtner generally plays. He's not usually a nice guy. In 97's Contact, he is. He's toe-to-toe with Jodie Foster. He's like her main support system. And it's a solid movie for a young McConaughey and Jodie Foster. And it's an epic kind of movie. There's a lot going on without much going on. It's solid. I like it. I really like Fichtner in it because it is this other side of him. He's usually the villain or the villain's accountant or the villain's sidekick. Like, he's always something. And rarely does he get to be like, oh, that William Fichtner's a really nice guy.
It's a bit like Rickman. Like, when he shows up in things, I've never read any of the Harry Potter books. I saw that Alan Rickman was playing. I was like, oh, he's going to do something. Keep your eye on him.
Yeah, he was tortured. He was troubled. His motivation was in the
wrong Alan
spot.
Rickman was? Or
yes, both.
The guy he played.
Him and Snape. Him and Snape, both. They're hard.
Oh, did he actually do something? Was I right on that?
Snape kills Dumbledore.
Whoa! Who's Dumbledore?
The
Gandalf?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
But
Harry Potter,
he loved
done.
Harry Potter's mom, so he wasn't all. They're really, really good. Snape is put off as like this bad guy through all these movies and then in all the books. And he kills Dumbledore, and who's like Harry's like, he's like the main dude in there. And it's like, oh no, why? And then you realize, like, oh, it was staged. Like, Snape, I mean,
he was just trying
him.
To get the
he
release of a bunch
Snape
of political
was
prisoners.
Like, undercover, essentially. He turned out to be a really decent guy who just really loved Harry's mom. really tragic story what happened to Snape and Harry's mom. But that was my number five. Your number four Michael Pena movie.
Actually features Michael Pena and nobody that I know of from Harry Potter. It does feature an actor and a director we talked about before we started with the mics hot. So that's going to help you guys out a lot. The director is David Ayer. The actor appearing with Michael Pena is John Bernthal. It is 2014's Fury, also starring Brad Pitt, Logan Lerman, and LeBouf. I really like this movie, which isn't necessarily something that I can always say about a David Ayer movie. But I think that he manages to tell a really great, really small war story. To me, there's something to seeing the mayhem of the Normandy scene and Saving Private Ryan. That's phenomenal filmmaking. But what makes even Saving Private Ryan a really great and impactful movie is that we get to know everyone in Tom Hanks's unit. That gives the movie inherent stakes. We've talked about it a lot, and usually in horror episodes, where we say that a movie death is really only effective when the character, and specifically the loss of that character, means something to the audience. And by focusing on this relatively small tank crew at the very end of World War II, Ayer is able to give all these characters distinct personalities, and we know that since the war is almost over, all these guys have to do, literally, is just get through seemingly the next shot, and then they're going to be fine, they're going to go home. Spoiler alert, that's not the case for most of these guys. Most of the distinct personalities and the character development we get in the movie is spent on Lerman's Norman Ellison. It is his story. He's sort of at the center of this assimilation into a team of fighters that have been together for much of the war. He kind of clashes with the other members on his crew, some more than others, but I thought that Michael Pena's Gordo seemed not to be a huge instigator. Brenthal's character is kind of a dick. He does some dick stuff. LeBouf's character is sort of on the other end of that. He's almost way too nice. So of the three guys that aren't Brad Pitt or Logan Lerman, Michael Pena, I think, is like the most balanced. He has some attitude problems that you might expect someone might have being at war for a while, but I don't think he's altogether a bad guy. He wasn't as big of a part of a narrative, but he still had some good screen time to make an impact. So when the tank at the end is disabled and our heroes are surrounded by the Nazis, it is genuinely stressful. Say what you want about Ayer. I think he's a very capable action director, and that part really shows off in the climax of Fury.
This is top-notch Brad Pitt. The stuff they went through for this movie I thought was solid. It's a different kind of war movie, which I thought was cool. My number four, another Jodie Foster movie, but one that I really, really like. From 2013, written and directed by Neil Blomkamp. It is Elysium. Fichtner is very Fichtnery in this. He's not the straight-up evil like Copley or Jodie Foster are, but he's not all that good either. There's a little bit of both sides to him. I just really like this movie, and Copley steals this movie. Charlton Copley, I think, is so ridiculously good in this movie, and I really like Matt Damon in this. He brings something to it that I really like.
It's not necessarily the Matt Damon you expect either. At least
no,
I didn't think so.
It's not, yeah. And it's just a really cool story. I love District 9. This, I thought, was a competent follow-up, and then Chappie happened. This and District 9 like showed me a lot of Neil Blomkamp that I want more of him, the characters, and even Fichtner sticks out. He's in a smaller part in this movie, which you can say about a lot of William Fichtner parts, but he's memorable in those. And he's one of those, if you're not familiar, like, you probably know his face, but I could see not knowing right off the top of your head where he's from. I don't think he has that one iconic role that, like, oh, that's the guy from so-and-so. Like,
right. Even Tobolowsky, that's Ned Ryerson.
Yeah.
Like, he's
yeah,
got
he's
that.
He's got that. Like, and I think that people go to that. Fichtner, I don't think, has that. But then once you realize, it's like, oh, he was the bank manager in Dark Knight. Oh, he was this and that. Oh, he was, and just, I think it all, like you realize, like, he makes a lot out of a little, and that's, he does that in Elysium as well.
My number three favorite Michael Pena movie. When we get to my top three, I think these are all really, really good movies. I love them. They're not necessarily in the order in which I enjoy them, but I think they are fantastic movies, and Michael Pena is in them to varying degrees. I wouldn't say he is the star by any stretch of the imagination of David O. Russell's American Hustle from 2013. That honor probably belongs to either Christian Bale or Amy Adams or Bradley Cooper or Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah, there's a number of people. Jeremy Renner, you could even make a case for. He plays a relatively minor role in terms of his on-screen presence, but his character is very important to the con that they're playing. I found it interesting when I started thinking about this movie. This is a movie with a ton of character acting going on, and it's interesting that Michael Pena's FBI agent, Paco Hernandez, is sort of the one that has to be a bit of a character actor himself. And the acting in this movie is outstanding. Christian Bale is almost unrecognizable. The way Amy Adams is able to slip in and out of different characters within her own character, I think, is just fascinating to watch. And Jennifer Lawrence plays that version of what we all think that every woman from New Jersey is actually like. And she's wonderful. She is a dumpster fire from beginning to end that somehow is still endearing. She's not a great person and she's doing not great person things, but you still kind of like her. Like, man, she's got some spunk to her, that one. And as absurd as this movie and the performances kind of get, I think Pena and his character are kind of good sports. He's asked to play the role of this wealthy Middle Easterner because ostensibly he's the only non-white person that they can find, and he just sort of rolls with it. It seems like a joke role that if this had been a straight comedy, like a farcical comedy, that Michael Pena would have, you could have cast him in that role, and he'd have done fantastic in it. But this is not a straight comedy. It's a giant award movie that somehow went 0 for 10 in 2014. But for Michael Pena to show up amongst this cast, I honestly think in 2013, that's probably peak all the actors we just mentioned, and that's peak David O. Russell.
Yeah.
So for him to assimilate himself in there and not seem out of place or stick out doing a really weird performance, I think says a lot about his talent that he can get this kind of role.
Yeah, and this is kind of the turn. Like, I feel like we see a lot more Michael Pena in the past 4 years or so, and we're just going to start seeing more and more of him. Because, you know, a few years ago, he'd be one where it's like, oh, when would we ever be able to do a Michael Pena list? And now it's like, oh, I think he's getting there. Like, he's.
Of course, yeah. Like, that would be a fun list.
He's getting bigger and bigger roles. He's headlining a few movies. He's headlining the new season of Narcos on Netflix, which is super cool. My number three, a little bit of a sillier one, directed by Peter Siegel from 2005. It's the Longest Yard remake. And it's a Chris Rock and Adam Sandler and Burt Reynolds movie. But the whole premise is Adam Sandler, if you can believe it, is this washed up pro quarterback, because that's who I think of when I think washed up pro quarterback. And they want to set up a game against the guards, the classic setup of the original. But then you have the guards, and you have Steve Austin, professional wrestler, Brian Bosworth, big-time badass football player.
Should have been a professional wrestler.
Kevin Nash, just giant wrestler. Bill Romanowski, one of the dirtiest players ever. And William Fichtner. Those are your main guards. Like, those are you have
some of the greatest heels in college football, NFL football, and wrestling, and William Fichtner,
who fit there. He didn't stick out. He brought some acting chops to that core group of five, and he gave you somebody to just hate, but also somebody that seemed beatable. He had this superhuman hateability like the rest of them did, but remained beatable, like almost relatable. I really liked him in this movie. This movie is way better than it should have been. Terry Crews is great as Cheeseburger Eddie. I think he steals the show. It's an Adam Sandler movie, but this is 2005 Adam Sandler when there were still...
This is pre-Netflix Adam Sandler.
Yeah, well, even before Netflix.
I guess that's true. Yeah,
this is when there were still a gym in there every once in a while. But this was good. It's enjoyable. It's fun. It's goofy. And Fichtner is really, really good as just this asshole prison guard.
My number two is not a Michael Pena movie, but it's a movie that Michael Pena is in and I want him to talk about. And I really like it. It is from 2005, and I was kind of in the Oscar mindset. My last movie got nominated for 10. This one won quite a few. It was Clint Eastwood's Million Dollar Baby, starring Hilary Swank, Clint Eastwood, and Morgan Freeman. You would probably be right to forget that Michael Pena was in this movie. But like I said, it makes a list for a couple reasons. First off, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know how I feel about boxing movies. I absolutely adore them. And this one, I think, is wonderful. Life is, I guess, kind of like a fight. And as personal and singular as the sport of boxing is, it's, you know, one guy standing across the ring from another guy, or in this case, one lady from another lady, and they beat the crap out of each other. But in this movie, the three leads, I think, are really teammates, like, in and out of the ring, and I liked their chemistry together. And second, this is the Marvel crossover that we deserve. At one time in Eastwood's gym, he trains not only Luis, we'll talk more about him in a minute, but also his Ant-Man co-star and best buddy in the movie, the Falcon. And the prized pupil in this gym is none other than Luke Cage. To have that much charisma in guys that you barely see in this movie, I think, is just phenomenal. And if you told me today, 13 years later, hey, you want to watch Michael Pena and Anthony Mackie together? Yes, I do. Throwing aside a Mike Coulter? Hey, that sounds fine. I'm totally into this. You get that triumvirate in this movie, but it's just behind Freeman, Swank, and Eastwood.
Lucius Fox.
If we want to keep with the comic stuff, sure. I love this movie. The ending, I think, is so much that people take away from it because it has such a stark ending, and those tend to sit with you. But I really liked the relationship of those three characters that built up throughout the movie. It takes a turn, but a solid movie.
My number two is a movie that I really, really love, and I talk about anytime I get.
It's Heat.
It's Strange Days from 1995, directed by Catherine Bigelow, written by James Cameron. It's not a Fichtner movie. It stars Ralph Fiennes. It's a Ralph Fiennes movie, 100%. But Angela Bassett, Juliette Lewis, Tom Sizemore, Michael Wincott. There's a lot of great character actors almost doing what they do best. You think of Sizemore and Lewis and Wincott. You think of like what roles they're good in. They're peak, those here. And in two roles that could just be throwaways. The whole thing is Mi-Fi Mi plays this influential artist that gets murdered. And it turns out there's a recorded life experience of it happening. And it happens to be two cops. So all the events in this movie are kicked off by this one event. The two cops aren't in it a ton. And would be easy to just cast throwaway actors in there. But the cops are played by Vincent D'Onofrio and William Fichtner, who are just dynamic every time they're on the screen, from the execution scene all the way to the end. They're so, so, so good. And they're evil people. They're murderers. They're evil. But I would watch a buddy cop movie with Fichtner and Vincent D'Onofrio just being terrible people because they were so good. I'm drawn to, like, intense actors. Like, I like actors who have this intensity about them.
Yeah, in a previous life, this was a Michael Shannon episode. It doesn't come much more intense than that.
And D'Onofrio has that. And D'Onofrio dials it up to 11 in this movie. And Fichtner's there, still bringing that same intensity, but is kind of the straight man of the two. And he's really, really good. And they're in it maybe 10 minutes of the whole movie. And I tried to keep the top more Fichtner heavy, like ones that he was in more. But he's not on screen a ton in this, but when he is, you remember those scenes because him and D'Onofrio are both so good. And it's hard to talk about one without the other because right. They are a pair
package
in
deal.
This movie. And for these two roles, that smaller roles, you could have given them to anybody who could have pulled off enough to make it passable. But then you get these two to bring so much more to it. And Bigelow, who just, he's fantastic at making things that shouldn't work, work. And Strange Days, I think, is one of the best examples of that.
My number one kind of follows your logic behind putting Strange Days that high on your list. And it's because when Fichtner's on the screen, he kind of pops and you remember him despite the fact he's not in the movie a lot. And I think that's completely appropriate to say about Michael Pena in Peyton Reed's Ant-Man from 2015, starring Ant-Man, Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, Corey Stoll. His character, Luis, absolutely steals this movie. Pun completely intended. Scott Lang, and to a large extent, Ant-Man, not necessarily a hugely interesting character on his own. So I think the decision to surround Lang with this pack of ne'er-do-wells, less than superhuman folks, turned out to be a great call. Peña and T.I. in particular are so good, and they offer these really nice change of pace moments. And that character is a little bit like icing. So much of it, or what I used to call Will Ferrell, and still do sometimes, like radiation. A little bit is really good, even helpful. Too much will kill you. If this role had been Chris Tuckered and maybe just used too much, it could have ruined the movie. But I think that Reed did a great job of only using Luis in certain segments, but maximizing when he was on the screen. And I can't wait to see more of that character. I want to see him in Ant-Man and the Wasp. I want to see him pop up somewhere in Infinity War, just because the change of pace that that character can bring. And Michael Payne is just so fun in that role. Like, he obviously got it. He knew what they were looking for. The scenes of him just narrating, well, okay, that didn't quite happen, and rewinding and doing the narrative again, but slightly different, so quickly. I love the character. I love Luis.
What's so good about him and T.I. and David DeMahaka Ross?
That guy, yeah.
He was in The Dark Knight as the cop. That he's in a lot of stuff. Is they're not good people. These guys are
they're
just
criminals.
Career thieves. And I thought Peña brought a really good dynamic to that, to like, hey, we're the good guys now, right? Like, it feels weird. They know who they are. They're not Robin Hood. They're not
superheroes.
Yeah, they're not thieving to make other people's lives better. They're thieving to survive. And for him to just have that, like, it feels kind of weird, right? And then when he goes back to save the guy, and it's like, he brought a lot of that. And this is, Luis is the kind of character that you worry about in a sequel because he was used so perfectly.
Like Fat Amy.
Yeah, he was used so perfectly. But he was so loved that in the sequel, it's natural. You want to use him more. But I think there's that fine line. My number one is the most William Fichtnery on my list. And it's there for a reason. He's third billed behind Nicolas Cage and Amber Heard in 2011's Drive Angry. I love him in this movie. This movie is so ridiculous. I hate 3D. I went and saw this movie in 3D opening night.
Did it play in 2D?
I don't think so. Because it was called Drive Angry 3D.
Right.
It was so ridiculous. And you have peak Nicolas Cage. This is Nicolas Cage when he gets that he's a punchline. And he can utilize that really, really well. And he does that here, where he is Nicolas Cage, the punchline, but he's the self-aware punchline. So it's really good. And to be the villain in that movie and to bring some sort of absurdity.
To have to out-maniacal Nicolas Cage in anything is tough.
Yeah, and he does it. He does it really smoothly. Like, he's kind of the straight guy to Nicolas Cage is that, but he's still this just evil. I love William Fichtner in this movie. As soon as I decided I was doing it, like, yeah, he's in other movies that I like more.
Right.
But as far as movies
almost
where,
any.
Yeah, yeah. But as far as movies where, like, oh, that's a William Fichtner movie, this. I mean, he's third billed. He's great. He's absolutely great. It's a ridiculous movie, and he brings just enough chops or legitimacy to it to where it feels he's so good in it. Yeah, Drive Angry is my number one. My number one William Fichtner movie. Not sure what other number lists it would make number one, but
movies about people that drive angrily. Might be up there. Top of my head.
Go almost made the list. He's really good in Go. He's one of those that he's good in everything.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's
for what he's asked to do.
Even if he's a bad movie, he's good in it. My Peña list, I thought we would have a lot of crossover. I mean, you left off The Martian.
Yeah, on purpose.
Observe and Report with Seth Rogen, I liked.
Yeah.
End of Watch.
End of Watch was an also-ran for me. They didn't want to go super David Ayer heavy.
I don't.
That is more of a Michael Peña movie. That's Michael Peña and Jake Gyllenhaal pretty much. And it has Anna Kendrick, so that should have probably bumped it on the list. I like them both, but I like Fury more, and I didn't want to do a bunch of David Ayer movies out of a form of protest.
And then I did War on Everyone from last year from the one McDonough brother with him and Alexander Skarsgård. I mean, that's a Peña movie. That's one of the most Peña movies he's done so far, because it's him and Skarsgård are the two dudes. But anyway, that was our first go at doing different actors.
Yeah, like a twofer list.
Yeah, I think it went all right. Like,
could have been worse.
Yeah, could have been worse. Could have been a Jack Black episode. Next week, we'll be taking a trip into the woods and doing our favorite wilderness movies, probably. That'll be just in time for hunting season.
I think it's kind of already over.
Not for us, because we're going in the woods next week.
Right.
For our favorite wilderness movies. And until then. Yeah.